Good morning, everybody. You know, what I have on my mind is a lot of what I had last week that's on my mind. In the place of stepping out in faith and what He has done. You know, we go to John, without me you can do nothing. You know, and we preach these messages and we have the Word of God. And we get delivered us the Word all the time. Amen? Don't we? But you know what, guys? It's up to us to actually apply that in our lives. You know, I can't do that for Paul. Paul can't do that for me. It's a choice that I make. It's a choice that he makes. It's a choice that y'all make. You can pray for somebody, you can lift them up unto the Lord, and we ought to. And we ought to exhort one another and provoke one another to love and good works, absolutely. But essentially, it's our choice to believe the gospel. So we can come in here every Sunday, you can come in here every Wednesday, and be a pew warmer for 30 years and not move and not ever apply, but just be a hearer. But the Lord's not called you to be a pew warmer. The Lord's called you to be a minister. The Lord's called you to be a minister. The Lord's called you to have a testimony of how good He is. I mean, because the truth of the matter, if we were stepping out in faith, we would have a testimony to share all the time. Amen? When you read the book of Acts, those guys that loved the Lord and went out to be about His business, man, that whole book is full of testimonies of the Lord. You know what? The whole Word is full of testimony of the Lord. You go to Hebrews 11 and just read that. It talks about Noah. It talks about Abraham. It talks about Moses. It talks about Sarah. Men of faith that believed God. Yet the Lord has yet called us to believe Him as well. And there's two different roads. Here's the Lord's way, right split down the middle. And then there's two ways that we always seem to just venture off. We always seem to venture off that way all the time. I'm going to talk about those two ways a little bit. Maybe we can get on that one way. Jesus and faith in His name. At least I think I'm going to talk about that. but I want to go. I want to go to Hebrews for a little bit, and I'm debating between going between 3 and 4. You know, I think I'll start in chapter 3, verse 14 in Hebrews. And it says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That is he talking about, that provocation is what he's talking was the time that the children of Israel spent in the desert. And they yet hardened their hearts. They yet hardened their hearts. They yet hardened their hearts after the Lord had shown them. Has yet shown them over and over that they could trust Him. Delivered them from Egypt, destroyed the enemy, gave them water out of a rock, rained manna from heaven, their teeth didn't rot, their feet didn't rot, their clothes didn't dry out, their shoes didn't fall apart. The Lord absolutely took care of those people. And yet when it was time for them to absolutely step out in faith and believe the promise that was given unto them, they could not believe. Or they would not. Let me not say could not. They could if they wanted to, if they made the choice to. There was two of the spies that went out and said, man, that land is good. The other 10, I think it was, came back and said, man, those people over there are giants. There's only two of those out of that generation that went to the promised land. And they weren't presumptuous. They were not presumptuous in the fact of that was what was promised to them. That was the promise He gave to Abraham and to his seed. And they were His seed. And that they didn't take the promised land because whose fault was it? It wasn't the Lord's fault. It was theirs. They chose to not believe. And yet I want to go down a little bit more in chapter 4. Let us therefore, so we have that example, right? Written in the Scripture for us not to take. But let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Look, they heard the same thing that we did. They heard the same thing, but they didn't believe it. They didn't have faith in it. They had the word, they had the promises, they had the light, but they yet rejected it, chose not to believe it. It's the same word, Jesus, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, amen? So we have many situations that come up in our life. And you know, Paul was talking about tribulation last week during the Hour of Truth, and one of those tribulations is, we need to go to Romans 5 real quick. Because this is really a fundamental thing. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope it maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And I think in Peter it also describes as tribulation. Why do you think that some strange thing has happened unto you? Why do you think some strange thing has happened to you? Look, this tribulation, the Lord says we're going to have tribulation. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Are we just going to take that simple saying and actually apply that? Yet I know I've had my struggles with it. Very, very, very much so. Like grabbing onto that word and just hanging it on to by just a string of thread, man. Fighting to believe that, man, is this, God, is your grace sufficient enough for me? You know, I'm not up here preaching like I have just absolutely attained this, not one bit. But the truth does matter. Am I going to choose to believe that His grace is sufficient for me? That He has overcome the world? That the Lord is my source? Not Gerald's tires and brakes. Not this person. Not that. Not this thing coming through. When tribulation hits, is the Lord my resort, my source and my redeemer? Am I going to make that choice to believe that? Or am I looking at other at people and ways and things, and this as my source of getting out of these things or fixing my problem? Because if I'm looking at those things, if we're looking at those things as the fixes of our problem, it's all going to fall down. It won't stand. Your foundation, if it's not built on Jesus in His Word, it shall fall. So when I put my trust and my faith in all these other things and the thing falls down, you know what? Praise God. Then I can put my faith in really what matters. And I tell you, I lean way too much on my own freaking understanding with this carnal mind that lets me down way too much. I let what I perceive and what I understand and what I think absolutely take me down sometimes. Lord has a filet mignon hanging out for me, and I'm sitting there chewing on a stupid T-bone with nothing, no meat on it. Just the bone. Arr, arr, arr. Marrow's even sucked out of it. Nothing there. Worth nothing. When the grace of God is there yet sufficient for me and for you and for others out there. That's the point. And that's one way we fall, is an example of unbelief. We don't take God at His Word and actually apply it in our lives, in our situations, and where we are at. We don't apply that. We don't believe it. We don't trust it. And if we're yet in that place, we're not gonna move. We're not going to move. And yet then we have another side of thing that seems to happen, right? Right? We realize how just a scumbag I am. Just absolutely realize, fall on my face to the Lord and cry out unto Him. Right? And yet He hears me because He's a good, loving Father. And He forgives me. And He picks me up. And He gets me through that situation. And I just see the Lord's hand in it and the testimony of how just good He is. And yet another testimony of how good God is comes abroad. And that's a praise the Lord. That's a praise the Lord. And yet the other side, we swerve to the other side of things. Man. Lord, it's good. I must be doing something right. Uh-oh. Here you go. Swinging on the other side of things, Philip. Way to go. Way to go. Without me, you can do nothing. The glory of all that is the Lord's and what He is able to do. Amen. But yet, man, Lord, look what I've been doing though, Lord. Man, I've been busting my tail over here. Man, Lord, I've done all these things that were just so beneficial. Lord, man, I have stuck these things out, man, Lord. I tell you. I've brought up the neighborhood, Lord. Philip, you didn't do nothing. Philip, you didn't do a darn thing. Philip, if it wasn't for me, you'd be dead in a ditch. Remember? Oh, crap, Lord, I'm sorry. Philip, I'm freed you from that flesh. I freed you from that old man. I'm the one that gave you my spirit. Remember, you, without me, you can do nothing. So if any good thing happened, it was because of me and my grace. Don't forget it. And somehow, in some sense in our mind, in our carnal mind, we're somehow justified. But no, that's not your justification. It's Jesus Christ and what He has done. That's it. I mean, well, I was reading in Psalm 51 the other day. And I'm just going to turn to it real quick. Because we got the sacrifices of Cain and we got the sacrifices of Abel here right at our feet right now. In the sense we're looking at it. And I just want to, Psalm 51 verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. See, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith in His name, without faith in what He can do, and without faith in Him at all, it's all garbage. I mean, it's just like us going to the altar and offering just worthless rags that mean nothing. As David describes it here, he says right here in 16, page flips, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Look, it means nothing. It's like me just going over and doing whatever I want and then just, oh, here's some goats and bullocks. Let me go about my way, do whatever I want. I mean, that means nothing. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't take away sin one bit. And yet we do this with our own mind all the time unto the Lord. We don't even realize, at least I know I do. Let me speak for myself. Well, Lord, I did this. That doesn't matter. Well, Lord, I did that. That doesn't matter. I mean, those aren't justifications for yourself. Don't use it. Don't stand on that. Stand on Jesus. The sacrifices of a God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. That broken heart, you know where David came to when he wrote this psalm? This was after he was... Earlier in this chapter it says, deliver me from blood guiltiness. That means murder. He murdered a faithful soldier. A faithful soldier to the Lord. To Him. I mean, so faithful that when he was to be brought home and to be back with his wife, that he turned around and said, man, those my guys are out there, the troops that I'm with are out there fighting and I'm not... And they're not home with their wives and yada, yada, yada. I'm going to sleep outside too. They're asleep on the ground. I'm going to sleep outside too. That's one faithful soldier. Amen. Yet David set him up to be murdered. Sent him out there. He says, when the army comes, everybody step back. Don't let Uriah know. Give the order. Step back. And the enemy came and killed Uriah. And here is David, yet here, right here, this is right after that, here is David writing this song. Absolute guilty, and he knows it. And all he's doing is he's crying out to the Lord, create him a clean heart and blot out his transgression, and he's coming before the Lord, dead honest before the Lord. He's saying, look, don't even be confused when thou judgest me, Lord. I'm telling you, I'm guilty. I'm not making no justification for myself one bit, Lord. I am dead guilty. Dead wrong. But your mercy is good. Your mercy is good. And it's good enough to blot out my transgression. And it's good enough to still yet make me stand in the place you've called me to stand. And Lord, when I receive that, I'm going to tell everybody about it. Of how good you are. I mean, he put himself down, man. He knew that he was nothing. He was broken before the Lord. And when we're broken before the Lord, man, we have nothing to offer, Bo. Not a thing. And we actually come down to the humility of the place that without Him, I can do nothing. No good comes of it if it's not with Jesus in obedience unto Him. It's not good for anything. Then what it says here. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure and design. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. With burnt offering, with whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. Look, when you get it right with the Lord, when you get humble before the Lord, when you're doing that thing, you realize you can't do nothing without Him, and there's nothing that you can bring to the table without Him. And the only thing that covers you is Him. And then you go offer those bullocks and those sacrifices unto the Lord as unto the Lord with that broken heart before Him. Then He'll be pleased in those things. You can be doing two different things, man. Two different things. Let me put it this way. A person can be doing the same thing. Two different people doing the same thing. And one be absolutely because he loves the Lord and it's obedience unto him, to the Lord. And one can be absolutely out of pride to justify themselves. And one's going to walk away justified rather than the other. And we all have a testimony of God's grace working in our life. If you don't get one, how do you get one? You step out in faith and believe His Word and absolutely trust Him. Make that choice and give it unto Him. Don't let that be your source. Don't let this be your source. Let Him be your source for everything. Let's believe Him at His Word. Let's not just hear it, but let's apply faith in it. Let's not follow after the same example of unbelief where the Lord promises us something and yet we don't grab it and obtain it and believe it. Lord's got many good things. Life, peace with Him. Love, power, sound mind. Man, I want to have that peace of God reign in my life, Bubba. I don't have to worry about a darn thing anymore. Because it's all His. No matter what happens, you know it's all His. And I know that's a work in progress. And I know I'm not there yet. You know, I know how I can get there. step by step, day by day, putting Him first, making Him my Lord and Savior. Be diligent to seek Him. He's the reward of those that diligently seek Him and that believe Him at His Word. All you guys here right now actually have a great opportunity. To be a part of His body. All y'all can diligently seek Him in His way and find that way. And He has a plan. And I'm talking, He doesn't have a plan for each and individual one of you. That's what I'm talking about. He has a plan. And we have opportunity to get on that plan. That's up to us. Coming in here every Sunday. It could benefit you greatly. Come out here, change, learn something, walk out of here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I pray that that happens for everybody. At the same time, you can come here and just listen and go back to your own way and don't learn anything. Don't step out in faith. Don't ever learn anything at all. And just hear. And I tell you, the more you learn, the more you know, and the more you don't do, there's the more condemnation. Because there's a place where, look, here's the truth. What are you going to do with it? Here's the truth. What are you going to do with it? But the Lord's good. And if we look at the testimony of what He's done for the children of Israel, man, took the most powerful nation, brought it down, delivered them, and destroyed them at the Red Sea. Boom, boom, boom. Showed signs, signs, signs. Yet we have the same thing for us. We have this nasty old flesh that we're caged to. Had no choice in. Bound to walk in this only. Yet the Lord's given us, just like He delivered them from the bondage, He's connected us back to Him again. Connected our spirit back to His. Given us life again. Or the wrath of God comes on the children in disobedience. But man, when He sees His Son and sees that blood, He passes right over that thing. And if we're covered by that blood, that thing passes right over us. That's the Savior part. Then we have it where the enemy's destroyed. We got baptism. We got Him where He died on the cross and was resurrected as the new man. And now we, by faith, die unto this old man. This old man has no dominion over us, and we're resurrected into His life, into His body, which is far better than this old nasty thing that got me killed almost 500 times. That's what He did with Egypt, didn't He? Come on through the Red Sea. Boom! You ain't going to reign over Israel anymore. Look, we have that same thing for us. So we can't even sit back and say, well, I wasn't at the Red Sea. Telling you got the same thing right before you. No different. Jesus yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Well, Lord, I didn't see all Egypt's firstborn died where the wrath passed over me. Yeah, you got the blood of the Lamb. So you have the same thing. We don't have an excuse. And yet you've seen it. You've seen it in my life. You've seen it in Paul's life. Y'all seen it in y'all's life. Where the Lord has taken the most absolute terrible situation. Absolute terrible situation and flipped it on its head. Hope and I, Jeff and Casey, Brad and Lisa. I know our big ones. And all y'all do. I'd like to hear them someday. Does that mean I'm going to walk in belief tomorrow? No. But I'm going to choose to. Amen. Or at least today. All I got is today. The children of Israel had the same thing. Let's not walk in unbelief anymore. Let's not let the situation come before us too big. And let's not think we have anything to our own righteousness. A broken and contrite heart. A broken spirit and a contrite heart. I will not despise. That's what His Word says. And if we go to Him before that like that, He ain't going to despise you. That's what His Word says. Let's get on our faces before the Lord. Let's get honest with Him. Let's be real with ourselves most of all. Lord hasn't moved. We move all the time. Let's get real with ourselves and come before the Lord how we are. It's all right. That's what He wants to see. Don't hide up the dirt or any of those things. He died for that, man. He died for that. That's what He died for. And He's always asking, be honest with me. Here, I'm here to take it away from you. Give it to me. I'm a loving Father. I'm not going to laugh at you, mock at you, at your dirt. That's what I died for. I love you, man. I don't want you to be in that bondage anymore. I want you to be free in me. I don't want you to live a life of destruction. Here's a new home, Philip. Here's a job, Philip. Here's a family, Philip. I know that situation was messed up. But here you go. I'll turn that upside down for you. Go forward in me. I love you, son. That's what He's telling us. That's what He's telling us. Let's take that gift. Let's not reject it. That's the only good one that we get. And this is the chance that we have to grab it. Don't wait too long before it's too late. And that thing passes you right on by. Next thing you know, you're in a bad place. Our opportunity is now in this life to get it right with Him. And He ain't going to come to the end and say, Lord, I didn't know. I'm telling you. You know. It won't suffice. Lord, I didn't really think hell was real. That ain't going to really work, Boa. Not. But when He comes to us and says, Lord, I have believed on Your name and Your grace is sufficient for me, that will stand. And God looks at that and sees His blood and says, I know you. Come on in, son. Or daughter. That's the place we need to get to, is to know Him. We need to know Him. And we need to know how good He is. We need to taste that He is good. Try Him. Put your faith in His name. And really make that choice. Take those justifications out and throw them as far away as you can. Because they ain't no good for you but death and destruction. And that's what that carnal mind wants to do. He wants to justify you. But you're not justified. But God's got you a gift, a free one. Well, you are justified only in Him, not by what you do. I've gone on a little bit, and I'm done.
All out there for us to just receive, learn His ways. The thing that was Lord was impressing me about here with the children of Israel and the provocation and is the first commentary on their situation in Hebrews 4 verse 1. Let us therefore, fear. Now, the children of Israel had seen the Lord's power. He'd seen the Lord come against Pharaoh. And he saw the Lord both deliver them and destroy Pharaoh's army. And, you know, that conversation that the Lord had with Moses, you've seen my power, now will you learn my ways? So, Israel got on the other side there and concluded, you know, we're God's chosen people. Yep, we are. And they just couldn't see a circumstance where that same power could come against them. Because, after all, they were his chosen people, right? And the trouble with that is they presumptuously kept thinking they had the right to make demands on Moses and make demands on the Lord. And then they saw a couple of rebellions where people were instantly killed. Demonstration of the wrath comes against disobedience and rebellion. The only thing they were working off of at that point was Moses' faith. Moses' faith was being tried. Moses' faith was being exercised when they had to, when they came to a place where their representatives went to spy out the promised land, and they needed faith to be able to believe the promised land was theirs, wasn't there? We can't do this, they're big. There were two people that had faith. There's two people who'd overcome unbelief. There were two people who had learned some of the ways of the Lord. Two people. They had been protected and preserved from all the calamities of the other nations. They had had total provision for their needs. Like Philip delineated, nothing wore out. Clothes didn't wear out. They had the Lord's presence in the camp. Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Rock followed them around. They got water, all the water they could stand. All the water they needed. But interestingly enough, they never got an opportunity to stockpile any of it. They had to trust him for a new delivery every day. And he was faithful to deliver every day. The manna would go bad. It was too much manna. You'd have to wait for the new delivery. And it'd come. There are a couple of places that interesting phrases get my attention, and one of them is in James chapter 1. Start in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. people of Israel in the desert, they never had faith trying that worketh patience. And once again, this is the same patience word that's in Romans 5. The same one. And it is the trying of your faith that works patience. It means you rely. You've seen the Lord's faithful. It further in James says, draw nigh unto me, chapter 4, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. When you draw nigh unto him, you've come to the end of yourself and you got a broken and contrite spirit and you draw near to him, picks you right up, meet you where you need him. That's the testimony of most of us in this room. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This patience is an unswervability. No matter the trial, no matter the temptation, you are unswervable from your commitment to the Lord and the Lord's ways and the promise of his faithful and righteous delivery according to your need. His provision for you is as true and as reliable as it was in Israel, with Israel in the desert. But Hebrews 4 again, let us therefore fear. That's the one thing they never learned. They were his chosen people. Why should they have to fear anything? But that's exactly what's going on there. Unless you fear, why would you be even concerned that a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it? Oh, we'll get another chance. Really? Who told you that? Well, you know, he's a gracious and merciful God. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're going to get another chance. What happens if you walk away and just fall down dead? Where are you at that moment? And some of those people in the desert, they saw that happen a lot. But it didn't scare them. It didn't make them want to know, hey, maybe we should figure out what it's going to take to please this God guy. Because, this looks kind of scary and not something I want to have done to me. Never a question they asked. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as in them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Fear. Fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, wisdom. It enables the word preached to profit, being mixed with faith. You can digest it and process it and become profited by it. If you don't fear the Lord, then you trust yourself, or you trust the state, or you trust the government, or you trust your job or your 401k. And that's idolatry. There's just no other way to put it. You know, Lord has given us many examples of how not to do it. And I would say the first place to look is, are you afraid of displeasing the Lord? If you're not standing in terror, even so much of disappointing the Lord, you're not in the right place. And you're not showing that to your family. You're not delivering them something that will allow the words spoken to them to be digested, to be mixed with faith unto the profitability and the ability to believe. If you're not giving them the fear of the Lord because you don't have it, you hate them, and you still yet trust in yourself. Lord, open these people's hearts and minister. Administer your grace and mercy to their situations. And let how beautiful you are for situations bring them to account. The lack of proper fear, so that they can profit from the word unto faith, unto salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.